To what extent should we simply believe the prophets? Or should we also invoke our critical and analytical powers to test them as well? Welcome to The Good Word. Our topic for this week is testing the prophets. My conversation partners are again Dave Thomas and Zdravko Stefanovic from the Walla Walla University School of Theology. Let's start with that question. To what extent do we need to test the prophets? And I'm talking about a certain psychology here, that when we get into the active worship, there is a sense, it seems to me, in which the critical function steps back and we are just in awe of God's presence. I think you find this when we pray, when we sing. Should we do that to the prophets? Simply turn our minds off and simply accept? Or do we need to test the prophets and ask some hard questions?
The God of the Bible did not only tell us to obey and to be receptive, but also to be wise. And in the case of Jeremiah, when someone named Hananiah claimed to have the gift of the true prophet, Jeremiah tested him and was able to show him that he was the prophet who called himself to that office, that God did not call him.
Mm. So there is a place. Now, Dave, you've got a lot of pulpit experience. Do you appreciate when your congregation, after listening to you, instead of saying amen, they said, well, preacher, that really stirred us up. We're going to go home and think about that and see whether that's true.
I certainly wouldn't mind a second one. It doesn't happen very often. I wouldn't mind that. I certainly have no expectation that people simply take in what I say, lock, stock, and barrel, or fish, line, and sinker, or whatever you want to call it. But it seems to me that I agree with Zdravko that wisdom requires discernment, and discernment requires some analysis. You have to weigh what you hear against a whole lot of other things.
Mm-hmm. If we think of a classic worship service, and I'm trying to get all the different emotions in here, where is it that our critical functions are most likely to take a back seat to our impulse simply to worship? Is it in the singing? When you have a great hymn?
Yeah, and I think it's in singing, and it's in the listening to stories of people's lives, how they've come to God and how they are following after God. I think those are places where, but even there you would still have to have some discernment. And in music you have to have some discernment. You know, there's some music that may be very mellifluous and wondrous to hear, but it has no real substance.
In the book of Numbers, chapter 32, there is an interesting story. As the Israelites were about to take possession of the promised land, 2.5 tribes decided that they would prefer to stay on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And they prepared their request, and they went to see Moses. Now, Moses was God's prophet. And they were presenting their case to Moses when they were interrupted. Moses made a mistake by not listening all the way to the end. But he interrupted them and even labeled them, "Here you are, a brood of sinners standing in the place of your fathers and making the Lord even more angry with Israel." Now, they politely waited for him to unload that. And then they continued and said, "And we did not think of staying just on this side and not helping our brothers. We did not choose this because we are scared. We decided to go with our brothers, help them conquest the western side of the Jordan River. And only once that job is done, we would come back and join our families." Moses said, "That's a great advice." And yet Moses was God's prophet. And once he listened all the way to the end of the proposal, he said, that is a good idea. The Lord is with you. No, there is no problem with that.
Hmm. That's a fascinating example. The other, of course, famous example, and we'll have a chance to look at this one on several occasions, is Nathan's advice to David to build the temple. And he goes home, and the Lord says, "I have another idea." Yeah. And so Nathan has to come back and say,
"Not you, but someone else."
Someone else, yeah.
In fact, it is amazing when we read to the Bible. To me, it's one of the greatest testimonies that the Bible is a unique document in the history of the world, that it is God's word, because very often we find the testimony of the words going against people's notions in the gospels. the disciples, those who were constantly around Christ, were not getting the main point that he was making. And in the Old Testament also, very often, God's people wrote testimonies against themselves, saying we didn't have a clue what was going on. Only later on it was revealed to us that God was among us performing these things and doing it for us. To me, it's a great testimony from the Bible. People were not bragging, oh, I got it from the beginning, and therefore I did it. No. Very often they didn't get it, and they told openly, honestly, the story how God had to put in extra effort
to help them get the point. Yeah, yeah. A couple of biblical passages, and then I'd like to simply walk through the four classic tests of the prophet that that Adventists used in the early years to test the ministry of Ellen White. But first of all, when I asked you, Dave, earlier about your congregation, I was thinking here of the Bereans in Acts 17:10. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they studied to see whether these things are so. Mm-hmm. So as much as I like to hear amen, there is part of the scripture that says you might be better off to say, thanks for stirring up our minds, Pastor. We're going to go home and check this out, see, rather than simply saying, oh, that was wonderful, Pastor. And the other one is 1 Thessalonians 5:21, where Paul urges the believers to test everything. Hold fast that which is good. So it's not just always to say amen. No. You test it. And then you follow through.
And see, I think that's a very important point, Alden, because the gift of prophecy is so important in religious history that it has been counterfeited. And if you do not exercise some manifestation of caution and discernment, you could be taken in a very bad way.
That's right. Okay, let's go to the first one, agreement with the Bible. And I'm going to make just a bit more of a comment here because we have typically used a line from Scripture that is almost never translated that way in most modern translations, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20, King James translation. If you go to many modern translations, you won't recognize anything there. And apparently in context, it really doesn't have to do with testing the Scriptures. What do we make of that first test, according to Scriptures? Do we need that verse? Do we use that verse? I think that's something which we ought to talk about at least a little bit.
I believe that what the context is saying is that God's revelation given to Moses, called the Torah, held a special place in the community of faith, and everything that came afterwards was a witness to that great revelation of God. It was to confirm, to affirm it, and especially to apply it. And that's how I take it, to the Torah and to the testimony. Whatever came after the Torah was not, it did not have purpose of replacing the Torah, but applying it, and in that sense making it great. It was even the great work of the Messiah to make the Torah of the Lord honorable. And no wonder that in the beginning of his ministry, you know, according to Matthew, again, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, don't make any mistake. I did not come to do away with the Torah and the prophets. I came to fulfill them, to confirm them, to show that God's initial revelation still stands.
Yes.
And I like to go back to the Pentateuch and see, you know, what we mentioned about God's purpose for Abraham, so that all the families of the earth may be blessed through you. That's something that we find echoes of throughout the prophetic proclamation.
And what I think is terribly important is this basic principle. Even if the particular verse or version that we're using may not state it clearly, still it is an important principle that we want to be faithful to the revelation that has gone before. So you always test by that which has gone before. And that is a dramatic difference from our friends, the Latter-day Saints, who say that the last word is the best one. If you take the last word, of course, it's much easier to make change, but you lose the principle of stability, which I think is so clear there in Scripture. So agreement with the Bible, agreement with the prophets is terribly important. That's the first one. Now, the second one is fulfilled prophecy. To what extent can you judge a prophet by whether or not the prophet's words come to pass?
By whether or not they come to pass.
And what is the meaning of to come to pass? Again, we come to that question. Is God's ultimate purpose that his promise is fulfilled letter by letter, or that the spirit of that promise, that people be saved, is fulfilled?
Well, I would like to bring the story of Jonah in right here, because Jonah was a great prophet who made a very startling prophecy that was never fulfilled. Precisely for the reason that you bring up, Strafko, is that in view of their repentance, if God had fulfilled that prophecy letter by letter, he would have done exactly the opposite of what he intended the prophecy to accomplish.
That's why I like to use the phrase sometimes, a failed prediction, but a successful prophecy.
Fully agree. I fully agree.
And Jonah is the best example. Jonah suspected that. He says, I was afraid you would forgive.
I like that. A failed what? Prediction.
A failed prediction, but a successful prophecy.
Yes.
And you have Jeremiah 18 is another famous passage where God simply says, if a nation turns from good to evil or from evil to good, then the Lord will change his mind.
Well, I would also bring in some warmer passages, if I may qualify them that way, with more emotions, where God says, proclaim this, maybe they will hear it. Maybe this time they will heed. Perhaps they will come back.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic, you know, the way in which God put it in Jeremiah.
Now, the other two tests, let's go to the third one, confessing that Jesus has come in the flesh. This is a New Testament, 1 John 4:1. This, of course, is a test that's only effective in New Testament times. How rigorous should we be with that one? Does a person need to have a precise Christology? How would you apply that one?
I have a comment to make about the way in which these are listed.
Uh-huh.
May I?
Yes, you may.
I would put number one, all prophecies centered in Christ. To me, that's the Alpha, of course, and the Omega, too. I would put that as number one.
So you would start essentially with Hebrews 1 and 2. God spoke in time past by the prophets as in these days.
Or 1 Peter.
1 Peter?
Yes, that prophecy was given so that the morning star is born and rises in our hearts. When Christ is born in our hearts, and of course the second coming of Christ, that's the fulfillment of all prophecy in the Bible.
Yeah, that's good. All right, the last one is fruit-bearing. By their fruits you shall know them. Let's take just a moment to take a quick look at that one. What happens if the prophet doesn't bear good fruits?
Then he becomes the anti-hero in his own story. And again, we can come back to Jonah. Jonah, in the beginning of the story, does everything wrong, and the pagan sailors do everything right. And that is also possible, that sometimes the prophets witness not through the example, but what do we say? It's the opposite of it.
Yeah.
You know, that they show us what not to do. It's possible.
Jonah is a marvelous example. But our time is up. We'll need to move on next week. We'll talk about the work of the prophets. My thanks to Dave Thomas and Strafko Stefanovic. They'll be with us again next week. My thanks to Josiah Hackerott, our program engineer, and to all of you for listening in. For Good Word, I'm Alden Thompson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.